morning and greetings to all of you in Christ's name. It's a blessing to be together out of the cold and in a warm place together as believers. How many of you have had times in your life when you have felt like you are not enough? I have some hypothetical scenarios here that I invite you to think with me if maybe you have been in a similar scenario yourself. Perhaps you're in a situation that feels out of control. You have done all you can to rectify the situation and pick up the broken pieces, and it just isn't enough. Maybe you're facing a mountain in your life that looks impossible to climb, and you feel in your heart that you don't have what it takes to climb it. You look up at the mountain and say, I am not enough. I don't have what it takes to conquer it. And you find yourself afraid of the thought of failure. Or maybe it is a besetting sin that you can't seem to find victory over, no matter how hard you try. You continue to fail and find yourself staring straight into the words, I am not enough. I can't do this on my own. Or perhaps you feel God's calling on your life and you see him move in unmistakable ways in confirmation of that, but still have times of feeling inadequate as you face decisions and problems and situations that are bigger than yourself. And you say, I don't know if I can do this. I don't think I'm enough. Or maybe you're running from one duty or responsibility to the next, barely able to catch your breath between them, and the demands and the expectations, both real and those perceived to be real, seem to pile up faster than you can complete or satisfy them. And you begin to feel like you're not enough. Well, I can assure you this morning that I know what it is like to experience each one of these hypothetical scenarios, because for me, they aren't hypothetical. I've experienced each one of these at various points in my life and in my journey. There's good news and bad news this morning. First, the bad news. We really aren't enough. The good news, though, is that Jesus Christ, the one whose birth we celebrate this month, is enough. We're entering a time of year that I trust all of us are looking forward to, a time when we as believers celebrate the birth of Christ. But it's also the time of year in which, even though we want to focus on or celebrate the birth of Christ, these five scenarios that I mentioned earlier can be more real than ever. Situations that feel out of control, mountains in our lives, besetting sins, feeling God's call but still feeling inadequate at times, or running from one duty or responsibility to the next. I think it's in times like this that I believe it is more important than ever to look at and embrace the all-sufficiency of Christ. I've entitled this devotional this morning, I Am Not Enough, But Jesus Christ Is Enough. One of the passages that has repeatedly blessed me and repeatedly helped me to refocus when I'm in the middle of any of these scenarios that I mentioned earlier is Romans 8. You might be thinking, Romans 8, Christmas season, I'm not making the connection. But I have repeatedly come back to this passage in difficult times because I see it as a passage full of Christ's sufficiency, full of promises of who Jesus is, full of promises of his work in our lives, his working in and through us. And through this passage, I get the clear picture that we are not alone. Christ is walking with me. Even as though I am not enough, Christ is enough. And I pray that as we read this passage, we could get a bigger glimpse of that. So I invite you to turn to Romans 8. I don't plan to make a lot of comments after that regarding the verses specifically, but just invite you to allow this passage to convince you by the Holy Spirit that Christ is enough and he is sufficient. And you're welcome to either follow along or just simply listen. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not that we should what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The same Christ Jesus whom we celebrate this month. You know, even though Christmas is such a common and well-known holiday, one that we can easily and quickly minimize because of its familiarity, I want to encourage all of us to intentionally celebrate it this month, to intentionally lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, to intentionally celebrate his coming to this earth to save us. Take time to ponder his coming. Take time to wonder in awe and worship how God so graciously and lovingly sent Christ for us. Take time to ponder the miracle of God coming in the flesh to walk among us. Take time to ponder the incredible reality of over 300 messianic prophecies over the previous centuries, all funneling down towards a specific time, place, and people, and being fulfilled in the person of Christ. Take time to marvel that God entrusted his only begotten Son to two fallible, imperfect parents. Take time to revel in the love of God that compelled him to have Jesus leave the glories of heaven so that he could walk in the flesh among us, saving us from our sins by dying on the cross and rising the third day. Take time to remember that this same Jesus is enough, is all sufficient for us. Whether we are in a situation that feels out of control, or facing a mountain in our lives, or struggling with a besetting sin, or feeling God's calling on our lives and yet still feeling inadequate at times, or whether we're running from one duty or responsibility to the next, may we stop and ponder and worship Jesus Christ and allow the truths and promises from Romans 8 sink deep into our souls. Let's kneel for prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning for your sufficiency. Thank you that you are all that we need. And Lord, we get off track when we look around us and when we are bogged down by the cares of this life. You're calling us again, and we have to remind each other and simply come back to you repeatedly, asking you to fill us with the truth that you have given us in the scriptures, the truth you've given us in Romans 8. There is no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from your love, no matter what we are facing. So I thank you for those truths this morning and ask that you would help us to realize them in a fuller way this month as we celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.